number 48. Welcome to These Fantastic Worlds, the science fiction and fantasy podcast by Jake Jackson. This week's tale is Quantum Loop. It had happened very quickly when the ozone layer across the entire planet collapsed. The fierce heat of the sun melted the polar ice caps. The oceans rose and flooded coastal settlements on almost every landmass. Wildfires tore through the townships on lower grounds in the Americas, in Europe and Asia. Whether it was man-made or the wrath of God, the result was the same. Human life was under threat of extinction, along with everything else. The newspapers, the radio, the internet, all were full of end-of-the-world headlines. And soon the electrics overheated, and most overhead lines carrying our electricity and communications and the satellites above began to break down. Everyone called it Day Zero, the day everything stopped, and we all waited to die. But then they came. It was just a few days after Day Zero, but it seemed like months of hell in between. For those of us who saw the arrival, and I was just 14, it was an answer to our silent prayers. I was raised to be strong, living on the farm, where we watched our crops wither and curl, the hard-worked future of my parents and theirs before them disappearing forever. I had braved the bright, hot yard to fetch some water from the well and heard a strange sound above like a thousand locusts, then looked up. I dropped the bucket and raced back to the porch of our ramshackle single-story farmhouse. "Dad! Dad, look!" I could see my father in the shadows inside. He was a harsh man, tall and imposing, and he left no room for ambiguity in his life. "What is it now, son? I can't move. It's too damn hot." "Dad!" "Go and bother your mum." He wandered further back into the shadows, muttering. "But Dad, it's a some sort of, you know, Dad, it's a miracle." My mother emerged, her eyes squinting. "You bothering your father again? You know how that will end."
Yeah, but look up."
By now I was somewhere between desperate and overexcited. My mother sighed and raised an eyebrow. Her eyes followed slowly. And then she shrieked, "Ezekiel, you've got to look!" Her husband's muttering grew closer, and from the shadows he joined his wife and son, looking towards the white, hot skies. "Oh my lord, how is that possible? What is that? Mum, they look like flying robots." Indeed, the wonder of it was that these elevated forms, thousands of them, like a vast umbrella across the skies, just seemed to float there, high, high above us, barely discernible. "They're everywhere. All the way to the horizon. I can see the sky beyond, but it isn't as bright as it was." The radio, seemingly dead for a few days, sputtered into life in the front room. "A shield across the heavens. We have reports coming in from around the world, all telling us the same thing. Temperatures have plummeted. Whatever this phenomenon is, it's replacing the effect of the ozone layer. Perhaps we're walking back from Day Zero." "I don't believe it," my dad slouched back in, a contrarian at the best of times. He would find it hard not to see the downside of this miracle. "Not sure I do, but I'll take it," my mother laughed. I watched her throw her head back and relax a little for the first time in weeks, perhaps longer if I'd thought about it. I had an insight into this wonderful woman and what she might have been if she'd not met my brute of a father. The weeks passed, and more information filtered through about our new protection. It seems that the whole planet was covered by the shield of floating mechanical beings. Photos taken by daredevil pilots showed the robots standing in the air, their millions of legs like tree roots in the sky, and above them a weird structure of spinning blades and translucent, overlapping sails. It was a mystery, but a welcome one. Inevitably, some people felt threatened by what they didn't know, forgetting those days when we nearly burned up, denying the problem that caused Day Zero, that it even happened. We began to hear reports of our metal heroes occasionally dropping from the sky, crashing into roofs or cars and being torn apart by locals. "Mum, what's wrong with these people? It makes me mad." We looked out of our front window at the slowly recovering crops. Some people don't want to believe in anything other than the few small things around them, the familiar, the safe, even if it kills them. "Yeah, well, folks shouldn't be vilified for protecting their own property." My father coughed loudly. My mother whispered to me and nodded ruefully across at her husband, who held his two-bore rifle in the crook of his arm. "Yep, and he's one of them." That night, as I drifted into sleep, I heard a huge rush, a massive impact, and our home shook briefly. My father was out drinking with his barflies in the nearest town, and my mother would be listening to her music with her headphones on in the back room. I rolled out of bed, tucked my shirt in messily, and sneaked down the stairs, unexpectedly passing my mother, whose roll-up, now smoking a hole in the carpet, trailed from her graceful, fallen hand. I opened the front door into the darkness outside and switched on the nightlight. There, in the middle of the yard, I saw a large form moving slightly, as though trying to stand up, but failing repeatedly. "Hello," I whispered, with the confidence of the naive, the fact that what I could see now was a huge metal creature who could crush me like a bug did not seem to trouble me, and I reached out to touch it. I remember my curiosity and as much concern as I would feel for any living creature on the farm. Ah, a sound emitted from somewhere, all around perhaps. The voice held on to the air, inhaling it seemed for an age, and amongst the broken metal of what must be the head, I saw a glimpse of a face reflected in the light from the porch. Pain stretched across it, but neither male nor female, it was utterly beautiful. It stilled me for a moment, and as I sought its eyes, I saw they too were perfect, and they held the fragile breath within me. "You will help me?" the voice floated around me. "Of course, but I need to hide you over there. It'll be safe for a few days. My dad doesn't deal with the cows anymore. Leaves it to me, see?" I babbled, no idea whether I would be understood, as I tried to lift the metal creature as if it was a fallen bullock. Oh, you're so light. I put my strong arm under what felt like shoulders and lifted it up, half dragging it to the shed. "You are kind," that drifting voice again. "Well, not as kind as you and your fellows are, saving our planet." "We have good reason to help you," the reply was faltering. "Well, whatever that is, best to save it till morning. I'll need to talk to Mum and see what we can do with you." "I will not recover." "You will. I'll make sure of that." "Ah, my metal shell has pierced my body." "Oh, so you're not a robot?" The impression of a smile spread across my mind, a sort of distant, gentle laughter. "So we come from your future. If your planet dies, then so do we. Our technology is so far advanced, we've harnessed the power of what you call quantum entanglement." As if I know what that is. But in my head, images formed, tiny shapes within atoms, and I saw minute particles separated but still connected by folded space, and technology that harnessed the energy of the sun powered the passage of atoms, then larger objects through time and space. So, our future selves brought technology to the past, creating a virtuous loop to protect the planet far into the future. "You see, it's not necessary to protect me, for there are so many others like me that we are bound to protect your time." "I won't let you die." I was shocked by the idea of losing this strange, beautiful creature. I knew I could help, as long as I could keep my father away for long enough. That's another story. Thank you for listening. You'll see that that story was part of an ongoing series. There'll be more to come. If you like this podcast, please do encourage your friends to listen, share, give it some stars, all that kind of stuff. You know the deal. It really does help. So this is Jake Jackson signing off. See you again next time. Goodbye.